Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We don't even know where Sammy is. I think he's looking for David Amber. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Top story, JB. Jarmo Kekalainen, general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets, no longer, as he was relieved from his duties. John Davidson takes over as interim general manager while the club searches for a replacement. Should we put on our surprise faces?
Well, if the Blue Jackets won their next five straight games, they'd still be in last. So, no. Anytime you're that far down the basement, this is kind of inevitable. He's a GM in his 11th season with the team, so you can't really blame anyone but yourself. And I wouldn't say, the future is immediately bright. So, no, I'm not shocked to see it. And, in fact, they've been enough stories this season that kind of surprised it took this long. So,
well,
dawn of a new day in Columbus.
There were many that were calling for his departure the moment they started backtracking. Well, he started backtracking on the hiring of Mike Babcock.
How do you mean backtracking?
Let's start with, we did our due diligence. Mm-hmm. Let's start there.
You
didn't do your due diligence. Because
didn't do due diligence. That's tough.
It's really tough, but I pulled it off and I'm not going back.
Sorry.
There are so many stories out there on this guy that and probably 29, 30 other general managers would not have taken that chance.
Yeah. You know, I do feel like they were trying to do something big, a desperation swing, you know, a sexy name, a more militant type coach. And yeah, that did not pan out, obviously. So yeah, you're on the hook for that when you make that decision. And he was lucky to get through there when they started losing. The writing was on the wall. So now John Davidson is still the president. He's the interim GM. We'll help them through this. Presumably we'll hire someone in the offseason. It felt like Davidson himself was on the way out by choice. No? Like at some point here, he's got to be in his mid-70s. You know, old is he?
Well, first of all, it appeared that when he got rehired back to Columbus after leaving the New York Rangers that he would come in as president of hockey ops, but not be in a position to oversee Jarmo in the hockey department decisions.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So all of this, I believe, is on Jarmo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if John Davidson got painted by ownership with the same brush, but I'm sure there's some accountability there on John Davidson and be the first guy to admit that. But I think he dodges this one because of the power that Jarmo had in Columbus to make final decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense to me. So, I mean, strange times in Columbus, right? Like you just signed Gaudreau, Patrick Laine going through a hard time. Not sure if you saw some of the backlash there. Some sort of harsh comments were made about him on a local podcast, and now they're raising a lot of money for mental health.
Well, that's a good part.
Yeah, so that's a positive, but, you know, they've been in the news way too much this year.
Okay, but, like, is there, like, a black cloud over this organization? They've won, if I'm not mistaken, they've won one round in 24 seasons.
I don't know what to tell you there. I mean, that is baffling. You know, Fantilli is hurt right now. So, like, one of their good things doesn't seem to be able to participate. To me, it's like they need to do the whole thing where they sell Jenner and they sell and they sell and they... I know no one, when you've won one round in 24 years, you don't want to take the long approach. But, gosh, it's tough to look at this roster and think... any quick fixes available to them.
Well, and they've had top picks. You mentioned Fantilli, and there's no question he will be the face, I think, of this organization as early next season, if not already now. But, like, how does Johnny Gaudreau go from being one of the more dynamic forwards in the National Hockey League to this.
I mean,
7 goals.
Kip, he's not playing with anyone. You look at their salary cap structure. You know, we're here in Toronto and we cover the Leafs and we know what a ridiculous top-heavy structure they have. The top 4 salaries among their forwards right now with Line A out are Gaudreau at 9.7, then Roslovic at 4, Boone Jenner at 3.75, and Sean Corrali at 2.5. Like, that's the top end of their cap-friendly page for who they're paying. So tough to produce
they've
with those
had,
guys.
They've had top picks, but no one has stepped up. This Kent Johnson came in highly touted.
Yeah.
World Juniors, college kid, face. I mean, he's in and out. He's scratched. He's sent down. I just don't understand why certain players cannot rise.
Yeah.
In this organization.
Hey, DA in the house. Look at this guy.
He's wonderful. He's talented. Put your hands together for the lovely David Amber. How's the weather? Did you get caught?
It's the trap. What's wrong with people driving in snow? There's barely any snow on the ground. People. Took me an hour to get here. You know where I live.
Yes, I
really?
Do.
Yeah.
That Damn. Long.
Anyways.
Well, we're glad you're here and safe.
Yeah, got here safely.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good to be here.
We're just discussing Yarmo.
Yes.
And the end of the listening. Sort of the Blue Jackets there.
Yeah. And no real surprise, right, for you?
No.
You would have thought at this point they would have liked to hold on for 30 more games and do this in the summer. Mm-hmm. But the sense I got was that ownership was feeling so much heat. Like there's a collective fan base now that are starting to, you know, push on the ownership, and they don't like that, right? So
there's been a dark cloud there for a while. And you mentioned I was driving in listening. By the way, Briere, amazing. Hey?
How good is he?
He's so good.
Thoughtful. And
honestly, the early returns, I know we're getting off topic here, but the early returns
we'll get
in
to
Philadelphia,
him.
It's amazing. Like, I love, I don't know, I just say, a great guy. It's great to see early success for him. On the other side of the ledger, dark cloud, right? Like, he was the third longest tenure GM. He had a pretty long runway. He had over a decade to put this together. The last 3 drafts, they had 5 players taken in the top 12 picks, right? Think about it. 5, like, premier blue chip prospects. They probably want to have a bit of a winning culture and a bit of stability there. And I think you want to start that as early as possible. And that might have gone into the thinking. Jeff Merrick brought up something on his show, Kipper, that might be true. Maybe there was something in the works that Kekalainen was trying to push through. And the owner, is it John McConnell, I believe, owns the team?
I don't know. Doug mentions him every other day.
Mr. McConnell. Yeah. And he probably was like, if this guy isn't going to be running the ship, then why are we letting him make decisions? We see the decisions he's made in the past haven't worked out, you know, to fruition for what we wanted. So it could have been all those things together.
Yeah, well, listen, I think in all honesty, the decision to let him go was made a long time ago. Mm. So I think it was to get him without rocking the boat through the trade deadline. But like I said, maybe the pressure got to the family a little bit here. What would you do, David Amber, in terms of finding your next general manager? Would you go to, I think John Davidson mentioned that the search starts outside, which means there's nothing internal, which mm-hmm. means that we're not going to see Rick Nash end up being the new general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. But what does this organization need in your eyes?
We're not famously going to see. Remember, ML Carr was a basketball executive, and he said, I'm going to do a search high and low to find the best GM, and it spent about a month. And he's like, okay, I've determined it's that me. Person's me. John Davidson, I've looked around.
Yes.
I'm the guy.
I can't find anyone better than me.
You know, and there's been a lot of speculation. You know, JD has been a bit of a rocky tenure at times for him as well. I don't know. That's a great question, because there's so many great young minds in the game. I'd love to see, you know, I don't want to say an outsider, but I'd love to see someone else, some new blood, get an opportunity. You know, like, I think I don't have a name off the top of my head, but there's just so many good, young, up and coming, you know, people in the game, intelligent, maybe you think outside the box a little bit, who would be great to get that opportunity.
You think you can sell that, or do you need an NHL guy that's been there for?
But who would that be? I mean, at this, I mean, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Coaches, it's easier.
Mark Hunter.
Mark Hunter's a good name, right?
Right. He just keeps winning in London.
I think that's a great name.
But that's still an outside-the-box name, only because it's not a guy who has, like, 20 years of NHL GMing experience under his belt.
But it's funny because I think there's this desire sometimes to sell to your fans, we have this young analytics guy. Mm. He does numbers. Obviously, Dubas had some of that. John Chayko was that in Arizona. Yeah. And it's not that easy. No. You know, like, there is – as a GM, you are not playing fantasy hockey. You are a manager, generally. So people, relationships, scouts, it's a big job. And so someone – with some experience, to me, in a role like that for a team like Columbus, who can't, you know, take a flyer, they need to have success soon. Some established name would make more sense.
But make no mistake, this is a coveted role, right? There's certain roles. GM, like, even when Kyle Dubas left Toronto and he went to Pittsburgh, I sort of said, wow, he's walking into a tough situation, and I didn't know it was going to be as tough as it is. Like, yes, Sidney Crosby's there. Yes, Malkin's there. But you look where they are in the salary cap, you look at the age and sort of the scope of where those players, the trajectory they're on in their career, and you go, wow, you're not walking into Columbus where you sit there and you have five or six blue chip up-and-coming prospects, right? Like, you look at some of the young players on that team, the Ken Johnsons, obviously the Adam Fantillis, David Yurchek on defense. They have some guys that, you know, 31 other GMs would be calling up and saying, I'd love to have this guy on my team as a foundational piece under control for the next 6, 7, 8 years. That's a pretty good problem to have if you're going to walk into that situation.
Yeah, they had no success. They have good young players. They have 21 of their next 21 draft picks. You know, so
they have another top five pick this year. Yeah.
We are in studio with David Amber, studio host of the NHL on Sportsnet. Not bad, eh?
You got it. It's like the first time Kipper introduced me to the show, it's like he'd never met me before. It's like, yeah, we used to work
this
together all those
Amber
days.
Amber David.
Buddy, you're the professional host, not me. I'm looking to, and I'm thinking to myself, David, did I do good? Did I do good,
you nailed
David?
It. You nailed it, brother.
Okay, let's go down the path of the Pittsburgh Penguins because they lost last night to the Florida Panthers. What are they, 3 out of the last 10 they've won? They're slipping here.
And Gensel got hurt. Which is their big piece to trade.
Matthew Tkachuk was an animal last night. Like he.
Oh, do we have that Tkachuk?
Did you hear him post-game?
That
is good, fantastic.
Good host instincts, David, because I think we have.
We do.
Matthew Tkachuk last night.
Ooh, let's see if we can play Matthew Tkachuk clip one.
I think Derek Brandeo went to the bathroom.
Sammy left, and he's like, no one's calling for
clips.
We
got no producer.
I saw Sammy outside.
We got no Derek Brandeo right now. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, we're just going to, our line is with Sam Bennett. Mm-hmm. We're going to go out there. And Nick Cousins. And we're just going to, we're going to play the first 10 minutes like there's no puck.
We're just going to hit. We're just going to wear them down. We're just going to hit as much as we can.
No puck on the ice, just running into guys for 10 minutes. I said, Kip, you've ruined me. Because after 3 years of working with Kip, I heard that and I was like, yes, kill him. You know, like just.
But I mean, it worked to perfection against an older team. And it's not that they intimidated them, I don't think. I mean, I'm not going to pretend I watched the game. But there was only 7 shots on goal, period, for both teams in the first period.
Wild.
Right? Like. They were there, and as Kipper was saying, they were playing like there wasn't a puck. Wear these guys down, get them kind of looking over both shoulders as they're retreating. And we all saw last year against Toronto how Florida forechecks. They forecheck with a certain level of tenacity that is pretty much unparalleled in the league.
Like 32 teams in the league. Give me another team that plays like Florida Panthers right now.
Florida, by the way, now 2 points behind Boston.
That actually could be good for Toronto if Toronto slips into that third spot, by the way. I think
rather play
Toronto,
Boston.
You know, it sounds crazy to pick your poison in Toronto right now as in a wild card, but I do think Toronto might prefer a matchup against Boston than Florida. I really honestly
outside
believe
the goaltending
wants to see Florida.
No, Florida is probably the best team in the league. Is that a wild statement?
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's not.
Actually, I had a text exchange with some people in hockey, and I said, can anyone see Florida winning the cup? And a couple of guys right away hit, yes.
Yeah.
And I went, wow.
They're
not there for you, huh?
They're tough. They got attitude, and they got swagger.
I do worry about Bobrovsky, though.
Well, Wade was the best player in the playoffs last year.
He was, but there's 8 years before that where he wasn't. So it's like, which one you
He's been good
get?
This year, though.
He has.
So
he's been the best version of himself.
Was it Sammy McKee that was reading off some Pittsburgh Penguin stats, including like their? He gave me like 3 or 4 categories, which led to one thing: they're really soft.
Yeah,
the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Well, yeah, and
that's a Kyle Dubas team.
I mean, I've called them the gold Leafs, the yellow or gold Leafs, whatever their colors are. They're very similar to the teams he built here.
I just wonder, and I understand it on a certain level, getting Carlson. I get it. But I think there were so many people just sort of saying, are you going to get last year's version of Carlson? Were they, how many meaningful games out of 82 did the San Jose Sharks play last year? And that's not to knock the skill of Carlson, right?
Yeah.
But essentially, he was playing river pond hockey, or however you want to put it. You know, the same way with Ovechkin chasing Gretzky right now in Washington is becoming less and less relevant with every loss. You can just go out there with the freedom of, I'm just going to try and score goals.
Yeah.
And when Carlson's having to play in a structure in a different system, and then there's the whole power play. The power play thing's been just baffling, right? And you took Letang, you took the incumbent guy off a great power play, you put Carlson in, and it just hasn't translated. I wonder if they're just going to rue the day they went out there and signed the most expensive defenseman in the league.
What is Sid going to do on a team that if this team misses the playoffs this year, then you know it's going to follow in the next year and the one after that?
What, like, are you suggesting?
They're only getting worse.
What are you suggesting?
I am suggesting that Sid may want to reconsider his options, and one of them may be leaving. Or is he your guy that says, I'm going in and I'm going out like Mario? One uniform.
I mean, I think that this is what he wants to do, and I think he has every desire to see the Penguins just improve around him so he doesn't have to make this decision. But one of the things that we think of with Sid is competitiveness, right? Like, just this desire to win, and we see it in the way he plays. I find it hard to believe he's going to work through a rebuild and help turn it around on his way out the door.
I think what could save Sidney Crosby finishing his career as a Pittsburgh Penguin are two things. One, he has three Stanley Cups, and that doesn't diminish his desire to have a fourth Stanley Cup.
No, two, but it does.
We're about to have the Four Nations face-off followed by the Olympics. He's going to get that ability to be, he'll be the captain of Team Canada. I can't see how he wouldn't be for this Four Nations.
Somebody face-off. Named Connor?
No.
If you want. Okay.
Sid's on the team. It's Sid.
You know, that's a great debate. I mean,
I'm not disagreeing with you, but Sid is the type of guy that says, I'm giving it to Connor.
You very well could be right. And there's no wrong answer here. Listen, you get 87 or 97, I'm happy either way. But having said that, you know, it's not like Sid is a marginal player playing out the string here. I mean, he's still an elite player. I mean, he's still an all-star caliber player. And I don't, that's a great debate. But bottom line is, those things I think will get his competitive juices flowing. That is an interesting debate. Actually, it would be the captain, Connor or Sid, pretty good options to have. But I think those two things will keep him in Pittsburgh. I really do.
Is he your MVP right now, Connor? Nate? The Nate dog? They're running neck and neck, are they?
Probably, Nate. I mean, we can't forget Kucherov either. Kucherov is leading their team by, I think,
but he didn't try in the All-Star game. I know.
It would not be a popular pick.
No one's voting for him.
It would not be a popular pick.
He doesn't have a chance of getting the votes.
No, you're right. But I mean, when you just look at the whole resume this year, you know, if we took the names off the nameplate and say, here are the lines, you might say, I'll take that guy who's leading the league, who's 36 points more than the next guy on his team. But you're right. To me, McKinnon's right there. But McDavid, if I had to put money down, and Borny, you might know the lines, I think McDavid's going to win the Art Ross.
You do, eh? Yes, he's 10 points up on McDavid right now with about 30 to go.
Well, how many? 28. He has some games in hand, though, McDavid as well, doesn't he?
Well, he hasn't played as many, so his points per game, he's at 164. He is ahead of McKinnon, points per game.
Yeah, so I could see him winning another Art. If he wins an Art Ross and the Oilers get to second in their division, it's going to be hard to, the whole narrative, they were in last place, and here's McDavid to save the day. Like, he's the best player. No one's disputing that, and I think he'd probably be, in a way, the most valuable player if, you know, he continues on this stretch.
I want to cannibalize our last segment with DA, because I can't not talk Phil Kessel. We've come this far. We have to have this conversation.
Oh, I had him on the list.
You did for DA?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw any clips of him down in Abbotsford. He's on the ice.
Did it not look good?
Well, he's just tired. Right.
If you came to my skate this morning,
you still skate Thursday. I got to come out one of your skates. Okay,
more than welcome. You'll be faster than me, I guarantee you. But he looked like someone more out of my skate this morning
suck and win.
Than he did an NHL player.
Now, but it's only day one. I do want to push back on this, because if a very fit player had not been playing for 10 months professionally or whatever, it's been 6-7 months, and then went to their first pro practice, they're going to be hands on knees at times. Like, they're trying to get their wind up. They're going to look tired. But of course, we get the odd clips, and he's built like the way he's built, and he's exhausted. He's head down on the bench.
And it's 10 months. He played, I believe, the first three playoff games and sat all through May and June. Like, it's been 10 months.
So it's understandable for him to be gassed, but he's pretty gassed.
This is nothing but a rolling the dice crapshoot for the Vancouver Canucks.
What's the risk, though?
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's just like, but there's no downside to this.
He doesn't cost you a different player or a spot for someone?
He doesn't. Yeah. At his very best, if everything goes great and he looks half decent, he's their 13th or 14th forward going into what hopefully is a long playoffs, meaning you're not getting in unless we lose two or three guys. Let's say Garland goes down or... Mm-hmm. You know, Brock goes down. Is he your best alternative to slide in for a game or two in the playoffs? I don't know. Maybe.
Kessel as late career Patrick Maroon would delight me. Gets his fourth cup with the Vancouver Canucks. Like, this guy's resume would be unbelievable.
Guys love playing with him. So there's not a chemistry issue. Rutherford and Tockett.
Yeah, he's
like
beloved.
Him,
you're going to have a million laughs with this guy in the room.
But he's also the guy that, like, okay, you put him in for 8 minutes one night and he gets a touch in the right spot, he can shoot one in for you. Yeah. Like, not many 13th, 14th guys can shoot one in for you. And he can.
Quick segue. Seeing Kipper do the roll the dice motion brought me back to Vegas a few years ago. This guy was on fire. he couldn't lose. First time playing craps, he rolled for like 54 minutes. Yeah, if we weren't betting like such losers, we could have... Yeah, we could have retired.
We should have retired that night.
Yeah. People around us are, hey, great, you just made me 20 grand. He was like, great, I made $19.
Looking at my lousy pile going, I don't know this game that well.
That was a good night, though.
That was a good night.
So the other Canadian teams that are in the mix, I know you all have a watchful eye on the Canadian teams. You're my Canadian correspondent, and every year it's how many of these guys can legitimately have a shot at winning the Cup. The Jets still in there. Like, how many teams do you have with a legit shot here?
Well, the three atop the West. I mean, we just did the odds board. I'm not sure who's sponsoring your show.
So thanks to Bet365.
Okay, good. Yeah, so Bet365 did our Stanley Cup odds, and Edmonton Oilers were the top odds at plus 800. Vancouver was second odds at plus 850. Vegas knows what they're doing, right? They're not trying to lose money without making this a gambling segment. To say that Winnipeg, Edmonton, or Vancouver aren't legitimate Cup contenders, I still want to put the Leafs in that group. They haven't shown us, and we are going to do a bunch of Leaf games coming up, our regional show with us three and Elliot, which I'm looking forward to. We have a couple of games next week. They haven't looked the part of Stanley Cup contender, but I still am going to stick by what I've said for 2 months now. Let's see what they are on March 9th. And I'm not sure they're going to be anything different.
Yeah.
But let's see what they are.
Day that passes by, like... I'm not a betting guy, but if I was, that first rounder's good as gone.
Mm. The Leafs first.
Yes.
So you think they're going to do something?
Not a chance they're not.
Okay. So
how's that?
So
pretty darn good.
So that you are a betting guy then. So, so you're putting that out there. And if that's the case, if they go out and they try and hit the jackpot, whatever the jackpot looks like, whether it's Tanev, Markstrom, whomever, I don't know who they're coveting.
They need something.
But if they go and they add two defensemen, they add two defensemen and a forward, they add a defenseman, a forward, and a goalie.
Yeah.
We're going to look at them as maybe part of that group.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm kind of say they're on the cusp. There's about 8 or 9 teams I would take ahead of Toronto. But those three teams in the West, especially the ones that have Demko and Hellebuck.
Doing nothing is not an option for the Toronto Maple Leafs or any of the playoff game or any of the playoff teams right across the country. I'm telling you right now, there's bidding wars going on right now. And that includes every team in a playoff scenario, including Vancouver still knocking on the doors.
Who would you guys say is the most coveted free agent? Not free agent, sorry.
Trade
asset out there. Like, it's so, I guess it depends on your team.
Well, you had some among forwards in your article today. You had Lawton.
Lawton. I had
Boone Jenner.
You think they're going to trade their captain? Who's to trade him? They don't have a GM right now.
Davidson's doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of...
Listen, at the end of the day, he knows what the parameters are. They're first-round picks, right?
Boone Jenner, how? That would be...
Well, it's a great fit for the Leafs if you're... I mean, I guess any team looking for a...
Yeah,
30-year-old center.
And these are the same teams, like the Rangers in Colorado that missed out, that put bids in for Monahan. Mm-hmm. Winnipeg ends up with Monahan, but now they're going back to the well here. We see Scott Laughlin tonight here.
Laughlin.
Yep. Versus the Leafs. Some people are saying he's not a first pick. Mm. Like, at the best, he's 3.5, 4
really?
On the depth chart.
Well, I like Nick Seeler, but Elliot keeps saying that they're going to maybe trying to re-sign Seeler. He's a tough.
I just told them.
Okay, Kip goes, check where he is in block shots. First in the NHL.
Seeler is.
Yeah, 155 ahead.
Yeah. That I didn't know, but I've seen him in some fights. Not that there's a lot of fighting. But
and he's Trouba.
He plays, he's Tanev Vest.
He's a first rounder all day long.
Crazy. 5'11".
To me, on a championship team, he could slide in second pair defenseman.
You know, I'm curious to see for the Leafs, like, you know, you talk about spending that first rounder. Can they find something over the next month or 3 weeks from their third line? You know, Domi and Bertuzzi started to have a little bit last game. Because look at the other Canadian teams. The Canucks have Bluger, Garland, Joshua as a third line.
They call it the lifeline. Those guys have been tremendous, or at least I'm calling it the lifeline. Yeah. I saw it online. I was like, I like that. Lifeline. Yeah. Those guys have been fantastic.
See, to me, that's a championship caliber kind of third line. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about Domi and Robertson now going to a conference final or a Stanley Cup final as a third line. I'm not buying it.
Third line on the Jets, Niederreiter, Lowry, Appleton.
Yeah. That, to me, is the best third line in hockey. Right.
But if Boone Jenner's in the mix, it totally changes how you feel about a third line.
No question.
You know? So, you know, we'll see what they do with that first, but they definitely need defensemen.
I haven't heard anyone talk about Boone Jenner. Yeah. I think he's the captain. Yeah. I looked at it differently, but if he's available,
he's not going to be a part of them when they're
coveted.
On the way up, right? He's 30 years old.
You know what? He's also an Ontario kid. Was just an all-star. Like
he also just greased Ridley Craig, so everyone loves him here. That would be great.
Do we expect Bedard to play tonight?
Yes, from what I'm hearing and reading. We have it on Sportsnet 360, I believe.
Is it important that he comes back and fills the net so the league can give him his Rookie of the Year Calder?
Still tied. This Brock Faber story is pretty nice, though. Brock Faber looks like the second coming of Ryan Suter, right? He's eating up all these minutes. I mean, I wonder if at the end of the day, Rob Blake and the guys in L.A. are going, what the hell did we just do? And I like Kevin Fiala, and I like the trade at the time. But this Faber kid, have you guys watched him? I mean,
you
great.
Never give up a top-tier defenseman for a winger. You just don't.
Well, and it's just that you can get burned so badly. Like, the next decade, this guy's going to be a number one, number two guy. And
they knew the pedigree was there. He played for the World Juniors. He went to the Olympics. He was a second-round draft pick. But it just the fit's been perfect, and they've just given him more, and he's succeeded every time. So Faber's going to be in the discussion. But think about it. You talked about the voting when it came to Kucherov. The average voter for awards, they're going, oh, my God, Bedard, the savior of the league and the goals and this. Or a Brock Faber. It's not sexy, right? He's deserving, but it's just not sexy. He's going to have to really do something. He's going to have to beat Bedard in points probably to be even in that conversation.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. And last team for me, while we're kind of going around Canada, Ottawa kind of on a bit of a tear. Won 4 in a row.
Where have we seen this before?
Perfect timing.
Won 4 in a row, 7-1-2 in their last 10. Their numbers, their analytics, the last 10 games compared to the first 13 under Martin are way better. Yeah. Do we believe it? Is it real, or is the second half getting backup goalies? Everyone's playing, no pressure.
No, I think they deserve these wins. I think they're playing more like the team we anticipate. I don't know about you guys. I'm not going to sit here and pretend anything. We talked about Detroit, Buffalo, and Ottawa as three possible teams.
For sure.
And you know what I said? I said, I like Ottawa the most. Yeah. I like Buffalo second most. Yeah. I like Detroit third most. And it's the exact flip of those. So
we've often debated on what sells the game and how do we drive more awareness to this great NHL game. Where were you on Ridley Gregg?
Oh, no.
On selling.
You almost got out of here. On
what he did and the interest it created, selling the game, good or bad?
I don't even know if I looked at it as selling the game. I had no problem with
the attention that it had.
Yes.
Was that good enough?
This is how I look at it. I had no problem with what he did, and he had to fully expect a response.
Yeah, right? I think it's a great
to do
take.
That and then to just sort of skate and
it's fine. Just expect people are going to like it.
Listen, we can all relive the situation. I know, and I saw you guys had some great clips on it and great dialogue on it. I'm glad there was a response. Luke Gazdik, who I did the show with on Monday, said he thinks that'll be the galvanizing thing that'll maybe draw this team together. And you were kind of alluding to that, too.
Because we're dumb. As Torts told us, we're just dumb.
But it was a big response.
It was a big moment. It's a moment. Yeah. They haven't had a ton of moments.
No, yeah. No. The Battle of Ontario in the last 10 years or 15 has not had a lot of moments.
We sat on the set earlier this year after Marchand took
Lilligren
into the thing, and Nick was apoplectic, losing his mind. Yes. There was no response. And understandably so. And you heard Sheldon Keefe say the lack of response was embarrassing or whatever words he used. And this was a real response. Was it over the top? Yes. Some people don't think it is. I go, you don't stick a guy in the face like that. But I'm glad there was something, and it needed to be something. But I don't have a problem with Ridley Gregg, as long as you know there's gonna be your wake.
And he made no apologies.
You're poking
for
the bear.
Yeah.
What's on tap tonight, DA?
It's a busy night. In fact, I better get to my show meeting. We got a 6:30 show.
Oh, geez.
Luke Gazdik, Sam Cosentino. We're setting up the night, and tonight we have 8:00. Oh my gosh, I should know which game. But well, we have the Oilers, the Flames, and the Canucks. I'm not sure which one's 8, which one's 9, and the Vancouver's 10. But they're all on Sportsnet 1, Sportsnet proper, I think, Sportsnet West. Check your local listings, check Sportsnet Plus. But it's a busy night. 12 games in the league. What, every Canadian team except Winnipeg?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, every Canadian team except the Jets tonight. So it's busy.
And you obviously need to get to makeup pretty badly.
Yeah, it's not even fair to the public. I hope you're listening on the radio.
we love having you.
Shine is legit here.
Is it true you hate winter because it forces you to wear long-sleeved shirts to hide your guns?
Oh, my God.
Guns.
You can just break out of those shirts if he wants to by flexing.
You know, we used to do the Board of Governors down in Florida, and we'd be by the pool, and, we'd barely be from the airport. This guy can't take his shirt off fast enough.
Oh, Lord.
Boots and shirts, sir. He's like, oh, okay.
This is a misrepresentation.
Ellie and I look at each other going, I'm just going to go to the room.
Ellie was in the mankini, the Borat.
The Borat special,
yeah. All right, no, it'll be fun. Thanks. You know, listen, it was a good shot. It was fun. Anytime I can swing back.
Oh, you bet.
We appreciate you coming on, man.
All right, guys.
David Ammer. Amber. I'm enamored.
I'm enamored
with David Amber.
There you go.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll find Sammy. We'll find Derek Brendale. We will find Matthew Tkachuk's clip. More Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Eleven games on tap. Five Canadian clubs in action tonight. Sammy, you got a little game time action for us.
I missed you guys. That was fun with DA.
We found you. We found Derek Brendale. We found our Matthew Tkachuk clip.
Hold on. Let me get this out of the way first. Right. On Tuesday, February 20th, Scotiabank Arena will celebrate its 25th anniversary. It'll be opening its doors to the community by offering the opportunity to skate on the Leafs home ice and shoot around in the Raptors' private in-venue practice court. For this occasion, we are offering two passes to this limited-time event. To enter, listen daily to The Real Kipper and Bourne for the code word, then text the code word to 590-590. Today's code word is hockey. Text hockey to 590-590 right now for your chance to win. Listen tomorrow for the last code word, and if you do not win with us, passes are available at Scotiabank Arena /25th anniversary. That code word today is hockey.
Damn, I forgot the code word. What was the code word?
I don't know how they come up with these. They're so hard.
If you went any more general, it would be like earth. It's going to be on earth. Yeah.
Air.
It's great. I love it.
And the second thing I have for you is, it's game time.
Ooh.
Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary. Bet365 must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, a pretty full slate, as Kipper mentioned before. Florida Panthers last night, boys. I know you guys are talking about it a bit with DA. God, my daily fears
of
waking up and thinking about the Leafs playing that team in the playoffs.
They play a certain way.
They're going into Buffalo tonight. They are -160 favorites. I know the Buffalo Sabres are coming off their biggest win of the year. Have they played since they shellacked the Kings, whatever it was, 8-0 or 7-0?
Touchdown on the Kings, yeah.
Still love the Panthers going in that game. -160, a team that just
is that's a the bit type of a game where don't love minus 60 doesn't pay me enough. I might do in regulation, or, which you can usually get it like around even
or
money.
Minus a goal and a half plus 155 for them to win by two.
Yeah.
I'm just quite sure that the Florida Panthers are going to win that game.
They're
going to
do a victory.
The next one I have, another really good game here tonight, the Colorado Avalanche and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Colorado is a slight underdog heading into Tampa. Tampa's been playing well recently, but anytime I can get the Nate dog as an underdog, I'm probably going to do that at plus 105. So give me the Colorado Avalanche in Tampa. And I just quickly want to look this up because, of course, as every team that comes into Toronto, it's their Stanley Cup Finals. It's the biggest game of the year for them. And more specifically for Morgan Frost, who comes home tonight, his father, Andy Frost, was the PA announcer forever for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Psychedelic Sundays was
absolutely
not his big show on Q107.
I can tell you right now that he's going to be coming into this game pretty horned up, looking to score a goal. Give me a Morgan Frost goal tonight at plus 375 against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So those are my picks for this evening, fellas. Anything from you?
Just Tiger Woods.
Oh, Tiger Woods. He had an absolute shank.
just a full hosel rocket.
I'm just looking. I think he's pretty close to the bottom of the leaderboard.
Yeah.
Plus one today. Nah. But it's like these new PGA Tour events. Like three guys get cut. Like there's barely any cut. Yeah. Like I think there's only 50 guys in the tourney. Like so it's very, very exclusive. But anyways, I don't have the odds in front of me. I can't get them at this point.
Right. So,
go ahead.
Go on, finish.
Okay, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
So before Colorado beat Washington, they had lost four in a row.
Happens.
But you really like them still.
Colorado?
You don't look at them and say something's not right here.
They are way too dependent on a few guys because they know that they're flawed down the roster and they need additions.
You know what really hurt them? Nikushkin.
Yeah. Gosh.
Losing him.
Forgot about him.
That one, on top of Landeskog being out this long, Nikushkin took his game to another level.
Yeah, and Johansson,
we wish him the best of luck. Of course, he's dealing with off-ice issues right now through the program at the NHLPA, and we wish him all the best of luck. But this is really put a damper on their top nine.
Yeah. They're bottom six right now. Like, I like Kiviranta, but they got Parisi on the third line, who they just pulled out of his basement somewhere, and, you know, some guys that are not super effective. So I do think they're a little more flawed than they have been in years past, but I do think they're also aware of how good their best players are, and they'll be aggressive at the deadline.
Remember, in Nashville, we were talking about Ryan Johansson?
Yeah.
Being a top player?
It's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. That ship has sailed. Old Matt Duchene, though, is lighting it up for the Dallas Stars, but Johansson not having the same success.
I look at so I just pulled up their cap-friendly page. They have all the next 3 years' first-round picks. They have a 2026 second. They have thirds in the next 2 years, fourth in the next 2 years. They have a pretty solid amount of picks to be used here. I'm not sure of their prospect capital in terms of who they've got. That's really, you know, enticing. Mm-hmm. But this is like the Sid Penguins when they were really good. This is all in every year.
Yes.
Like they are ahead of, obviously they're ahead of the Leafs in that factor. Like, you're trading those first for impact guys, especially with Nikushkin's money not on the books and that kind of thing.
But you would expect Nikushkin to be back this year, would you not? Like, maybe he comes back at the end of it all. I mean, a lot of these guys take a couple months.
You just don't know.
You don't know.
No.
100%.
I don't know if it's something that you can count on one way or the other.
And Landeskog is... No. No chance this season.
I don't know whether or not we're talking about this season or the rest of his career. Whatever he's trying to do, to me, is, I've been told,
have
a is
career.
A bit of a long shot.
Wow.
Yeah,
right?
That's heartbreaking.
That
because
is.
He was such
player.
A stud. It's too bad.
Kale McCarr, Gerard, Manson, Taves, Byram, their D is really effective.
Yeah. To me, they are still a big-time threat.
Okay.
Get them in a short series with Nathan MacKinnon, Rantanen, that top pair. I think they're a big threat still.
So, Colorado, a big threat. We just talked about how Florida, for you, was like this nasty lookout. Mm-hmm. Do we have the Matthew Tkachuk clip?
We definitely have that clip, Derek.
This is what, yeah, Matthew Tkachuk was saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think tonight in particular, the talk was first 10 minutes, there's no puck out there, and let's try to get as many hits as we can and try to wear their D out for the third period. And, I mean, yeah, there was no puck out there. We didn't have it in the first. So I guess we were
no shots in the first either.
I know, exactly. There probably was no puck out there. But I think our line is a little bit different in the sense where we're pretty good forechecking and three guys that play physical and are tenacious and try to be on the puck and on the body. So I think especially come playoff time, starting the first few shifts of the game or first few shifts of a period, but especially at the start of games, trying to be probably overly physical and hoping that teams wear down by the end of the series.
The Panthers have...
he's little, awesome.
Yeah. Oh, he's a special.
Even he's not... What did he score last year? Over 100 points? 104? Something ridiculous? But
I'll let you know
he's not on that pace.
Yes, he had 109 last year.
109.
Sir. Oh, sorry, that was...
Yeah, in no, Calgary?
109 in Florida.
Yeah,
109. 104, then 109.
Okay, that's like ridiculous numbers for a guy that can still go out there and
123
off.
PIM still.
Right?
Yeah, 123 PIM.
So he's going to end up with what, 80, 90 points?
Yeah, he's well over point per game. Almost 60 points in 53 games.
But just like beat you every which way. And last night, I think he had four points.
Like, it's common.
He made some great passes last night. Where are you with Florida's defense? Because someone mentioned the name Aaron Ekblad to me the other day.
What, is a tradable player?
I love
Ekblad.
You do?
I do. I didn't used to. I do now.
Wow. Yeah, okay, he scored a nice goal last night.
I've come around.
But, you know, two names that everybody wants right-handed. Hey, Ekblad's a right-handed. Pareko's name is out there being floated a little bit more and more. I think he's got like 3 years, possibly four left at 6'5". That might be a tough one for the Leafs.
Yeah.
But, Eric Ekblad, not that he's necessarily a guy that could get moved at the trade deadline. First of all, he has a complete no move. He's coming off an amazing contract.
Yeah, he's been making 7-5.
He's been making 7-5 for a while here.
A top pair, right shot, heavy D who gets points.
So he's got a no-move clause, so it's not like there's a threat that he's going to get traded, but in the summer, July, he loses the no-move, and then it goes to 12 teams that he can protect from being traded.
What are you saying here?
I'm saying that Florida's in a situation now where they're not sure if they want to re-sign him. He's still at a very young age.
28.
He's eligible to be signed July 1st. Would he be looking for a raise off of the 7-5? Would you sign him at 7-5? Would you?
We're talking that number for Hanifin. That
they've also got Brandon Montour, who's going to be a UFA this summer. And Forsling is a UFA. So where is Florida going to put their money moving forward? They're going to go back to Eric Ekblad, or are they going to now focus on signing Montour, who's going to be 30 maybe, on a 4 or 5 year deal?
Sam Reinhart's deal is up too this summer, right?
So they've got a lot of decisions to make, and that Forsling's come out of nowhere, guys.
I think he plays the top 10 time on ice per game. I haven't checked in a long time.
He's turned into a hell of
a
defenseman.
It'd
be a real shame if they just crumbled.
So my point is, do you want to go back and revisit Ekblad moving forward, or do you say goodbye to him and focus on, I don't know, keeping Montour or Forsling and Reinhart for that matter?
Yeah.
What would you do?
Well, Ekblad to me is the top guy of the guys you're talking about there. Like Montour, his numbers are down quite a bit from last year. We have 70-some points last year.
Like unbelievable.
Just absurd numbers. Forsling, you know, he's a nice story to me, but he's not as impactful. He's a great neutral zone gap defender, tight gaps, tough to play and all that. But my only concern with Ekblad is he just rarely gets through a season healthy. You know, he's hurt a lot. And so you give a guy 7-8 years into his 30s who's already hurt a lot in his 20s.
Just to go back to Colton Pareko, he has 6 more seasons after this one at 6.5.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. What did I say, 3 or 4?
Yeah, it's six more at 6.5.
And what was his age?
Till 29, 30, he is under contract. He is 30. Yeah.
Yeah. You think the Leafs should go after him?
No. Well, yes, I do.
Okay, I like it.
Well, I just look at the way they're built and what they have. He's a right shot.
He's a right shot.
Big body, six, right shot. Six. He's been, was he on the cup winning team?
Oh,
he was.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he
and he's not that old.
Steadying presence. No, no, no. He's,
29?
Yeah. And he's but there generally is, healthy.
There's some wear and tear there.
Is he, missed games?
Yeah. So
there's some wear and tear. I think back issues he's had in the past.
Bacchiatomy.
And just one more trade sort of note. That the Penguins announced that Gensel is expected to miss up to 4 weeks due to injury.
Oh.
Yeah.
4 weeks. That takes you to, like, March 9th.
Yeah, that won't have a... That
he'll get healthy.
Won't play a factor if, in fact, Kyle Dubas would want to trade him.
I think 2, 3 weeks.
Pretty abundant or clear here that they should be heading in that direction.
Well...
Like, I know you, it's a tough conversation to have with Sid.
They were not supposed to miss the playoffs this year.
Yeah, making that, I mean.
Missed it by 1 point last year after they lost to Chicago and Columbus in the last two games of the year. Do you remember that?
And if that didn't happen.
Florida doesn't get in.
Yep.
And then the Leafs win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
What was your stats? Didn't you give me stats on Kyle Dubas's Penguins being like, you know.
Yeah, they're.
Near the bottom of major categories?
Well, they're all the, like...
Penalty minutes?
Yeah, they're the
what?
Least penalized team in the league.
Oh, least.
They're the least penalized team in the league. They hit the least. They do everything the least. That's, like, me. So...
You know, I think it's an underrated story that I think...
Everything's great.
Their coach likes to play a certain way, too. It's not just Dubas. Like, he's been there this whole time. They've never been a force physically. I think this is kind of Sullivan's way. They still create a lot. They're third in the NHL in expected goals for, which is very Dubas-y. They're all the same.
I'll say it. That Carlson trade's a disaster.
It was from the start.
And he knocked on the door.
He wanted it here.
He wanted him in Toronto. And
oh, my God.
I don't think he got much support. And that's,
I think we booed you out of the studio when you suggested it last year.
I think there was a number of reasons why Kyle left. Very long list. That one probably was right there.
What, that he wasn't able to bring him here when he wanted to?
That's right, yeah.
Well, whoever dug in on that, if that's Brendan.
Good on you, bud.
Way to go, pal. You nailed that
way
one.
Way to go.
How about the Penguins' power play? Like,
wretched.
You can't score with all those stars.
I hate to draw a line, but I've watched the Penguins a lot this year, and it's Carlson trying to hammer it from the point, and it's over to Gino from the half boards. A lot.
The Geno slapper from the half board.
It just happens.
No deception.
So much.
Just here it comes again.
Did you guys catch this story? I caught it from the corner of my eye about a lawsuit, junior hockey violating an antitrust law.
Yes, I read that article this morning.
What do you think?
I think that the NIL rules in college and how those players are finding ways to get money now has changed how people are looking at the exploitation of other players and these junior hockey players. I mean, it's not fair,
It'll
but the leagues will
crush,
crumble if they have to pay them.
Yeah.
They can't. I mean, these leagues are operating on no margin.
They can't pay them, but can they find other ways to put money in their pockets?
Well, that's probably what it is. It's like Dave's auto, you know, tire changing service gives the
and
guy.
And you know Dave's just rolling in it in North Bay, Ontario,
well,
right?
If he's got enough to keep a good center on his team, he might pony up, right? You buy season tickets, chip in a little more, we'll get to keep the good players.
A lot of these guys are still making the same $20 I made in 1983.
$250 per month is the most you can make as a junior hockey player.
Well, if you just look at the state of college football, it's great. Now that they've got NIL, they've really crushed it. So it's completely sarcastic. It's horrible. They turn it into pro.
Yeah. It's just like, 10 teams with the good players.
Like they're given room and board. They play at in the number one development league in the world, in the CHL. They have all the scouts' eyes on them. If you're good in that league, you're going to make it higher. You're going to go to the next thing. It's like, you want to get rid of that? Fine. It's like, it goes to what Torts was talking about earlier. It's like, you want to change it all?
But on the other hand,
you want all these guys to come in as superstars getting paid all this money?
These guys work
hard.
It's
a dumb league.
Hey. And some owner sells tickets on the backs of their work and makes that money.
At least they don't have to do it behind anyone's back now. That's all.
Yeah,
and they were always doing it.
Right. No, you're right. And there's all these like committees now that like pool their money to keep offensive linemen. Like it's a different world now.
How do you think, by the way, Kessel's tryout with the Abbotsford, how'd it look there to start?
Look good. Look fresh. Dynamic.
He needs a few down and backs. He's got to get the wallies going.
Yeah. All right, Evergill, down and back. Down and back.
Yeah, boys.
Our thanks, name of a book I've heard of.
I've done a few.
To Daniel Briere, general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers and the host of NHL Hockey on Sportsnet, of course, David Amber. 11 games on tap. Pick yours. And then join us again tomorrow when we do it all over again on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Have a great night, everybody.